Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I am your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. Once again, it is great to be with you. Coming up, we have a very special guest. We will be joined by Mr. Leo Baron Hicks. He's an attorney and a talk show radio host, and entitled Solutions with Leo Baron Hicks, that airs every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central. Solutions is a progressive, Afrocentric call-in talk radio show that addresses important issues of the day. However, rather than merely talking or criticizing and complaining, Solutions is dedicated to finding the answers, the remedies, and the solutions to problems that vex us all. Now, Mr. Hicks has 15 years of experience as a practicing attorney and is the author of New Cotton and the Cotton Chronicles. Now, you should go out to his website at www.newcotton.com and get the books and enlighten yourself. He's a very, very dynamic person, and I think we're going to have a very good time with him today. Now, to join the conversation, be sure to contact us at 323-580-5712. Again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening or visiting the website, leave your comments, click the follow button, or follow me on Twitter for real-time updates. Now, in just a few minutes, Mr. Hicks will be joining us in our segment called Church and State, where we'll be discussing the allegations charged against the pastor of New Birth Missionary Baptist Church, Bishop Eddie Long. But first, let's take a look at our current events. Now, weekly I do a segment called Moments of Reflection, and this week's moment of reflection is really about health care reform. Now, this segment pretty much came because I went to the doctor this week. I had an annual checkup, and I had a little controversy at the counter because although my annual visits really don't charge me anything. For some reason, they were charging me a copay this time. And so I was asking, why were you charging me a copay for my annual physical, which they never normally do? And the response was that because the doctor, you're going to be discussing issues with the doctor that may affect you and your health. Just because I'm going to be discussing these issues with them, they treat that physical as a regular visit. Of course, I was just like livid. I'm like, okay, so you mean to tell me I come and have a regular physical and I still have to pay a $20 copay just because you treat this as an addition to a regular visit? And so that sparked me to do a little research behind, you know, what's going on with the health care and how important this health care reform bill. Not to mention, last week I had a caller that was kind of going into the components of, you know, why the current administration has not been able to reach the people. She said that it would be nice if they would be able to break some of the issues down in such a way that normal, everyday people could understand. And, you know, I agree with her and I concur with her because most of the current administration are Ivy League scholars. And for the most part, people, everyday average Americans like myself, we, in a lot of cases, don't understand the language or the jargon that they use at that level. So it would be really helpful if we had someone to break down some of the issues that and to the everyday language common people. And so that's what this segment is going to try to do. And this is a continuation of last week. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the healthcare policy in this component called Moment of Reflections. Now, after years of failed attempts by a host of Democratic presidents, and after a full year of bickering and partisan debate, President Obama signed legislation on March 23, 2010. Now, this landmark bill signed by Mr. Obama will provide coverage to an estimated 30 million people who currently lack it. Now, on Thursday, September 23rd, was the 6-month anniversary for signing of this Patient Protection and Affordability Care Act. Now, several of most central consumer protections took effect. So I want you to take a moment to write these down. We should be armed with the right information when it comes to what's going on with this administration. A lot of people are talking about a lot of negativity. There's a lot of doom and gloom in the news. And I want to be able to provide a little light on the situation. So because of the six-month component, here's what we have now. Starting now, insurance companies will no longer be permitted to exclude children because of pre-existing health conditions, now, which the White House said could enable 72,000 uninsured to gain coverage. That's wonderful. Insurers also will be prohibited from imposing lifetime limits on benefits. That means that and you will no longer be restricted of having these prohibitions on your lifetime insurance. Now, the other thing here is that the law will now forbid insurers to drop sick and costly customers after discovering technical mistakes. And one of the real important facts here is that it requires that offer coverage to children under 26 can stay on their parents' policies. Now, in a lot of cases when, you know, children graduate, they go on to college and things of that nature, they no longer have coverage. There's a gap in coverage when they leave home. And so now this new legislation will allow children up until the age of 26 to stay on their parents' policy. It also establishes a menu of preventive procedures like colonoscopies, mammograms, and immunizations that must be covered without copayments. And finally, it allows consumers who join a new plan to keep their own doctors and to appeal insurance company reimbursement decisions to a third party. So in a lot of cases, when you may move from one company to the next and you go on a different insurance plan, you have established a long-term relationship with your doctor. In some cases, because of the plans, the health insurance plans, you're unable to keep your existing doctor. This legislation now allow you to keep your own doctors under multiple plans. Now, I am fully aware that this health care bill is nowhere near perfect, but it does provide a framework for everyday Americans to begin getting coverage and ultimately get the care they need. All right, so to join the conversation, again, the number is 323-580-5712. Again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening or visiting the website, leave your comments. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter for real-time updates. Okay, so let's go to our calls. Hello, caller. You're on the line with Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Hello.
Caller, are you there?
I can't hear nothing.
Hello, are you there? Okay, let's move to our next call. Okay, another area code 214 here. Caller, are you there? Okay, you're on Current Events with Patrick Cook. Hello, caller, are you there? Okay, let's move to our next call. Okay, caller, you're on with Current Events with Patrick Cook. Hello, you there? Hello, caller, are you there? Okay, you're on Current Events with Patrick Cook. Caller, you there?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, we've been discussing the health care plan. We just talked about the all of the provisions that this legislation had in the bill. You have any comments?
Yes. Me being a junior senator for Texas, I lobbied for this bill to members of the Congress. 43% of Americans go into debt because of health care. back in when the president first produced the bill, we couldn't get enough of Republicans to even sign this bill. As a matter of fact, none of them did vote for this bill after he agreed with them to put some of the legislation that they want in the bill. Secondly, my concern is with elections coming up in November, I just don't understand how they're going to say they're going to repeal this bill and then tell these Americans that they are willing to deny them of coverage.
That's an important point. You know that, you know, although that the health care is, you just mentioned 43%, this will help 43% of Americans, and how important people's health is and how and to their livelihood, and we're in a lot of cases are politicizing this particular occasion. I mean, how is it that you have people trying to repeal a legislation that's going to help millions of Americans? I thank you for your call. Okay. We'll move to our next caller. You're there. You're on Current Events with Patrick Cook. What are your comments?
Mr. Cook, this is Leo Baron Hicks. How are you?
Hey, Mr. Hicks, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm fine, man. I'm listening to your show, man. It sounds great.
Wow, wonderful. I did a brief introduction of you earlier. Now, tell the listeners a little bit about you and the many facets of Leo Baron Hicks.
I'm one of your biggest fans. That's all they need to know.
How's that?
I'm one of your biggest fans, bro.
Now, I was mentioning earlier that you have a talk show on Sundays at 5 p.m. called Solutions with Leo Baron Hicks that airs every Sunday at 5 p.m. And I mentioned that the two books that you have, The New Cotton and The Cotton Chronicles. You want to talk to our listeners a little bit about the books?
Sure. The New Cotton, From Race Chattel Slavery to Race Conviction Slavery, analyzes the evolution of slavery in America and compares slavery to the modern criminal justice system. Quite frankly, they are one and the same. And The Cotton Chronicles, American Apartheid Prisons and the 21st Century Cotton Gin, follows up on the first book, and it really does an in-depth analysis of the war on drugs and the real purpose of the war on drugs, which I call the 21st Century Cotton Gin.
Wonderful. Now, so to our listeners, go out to the website, www.thenewcotton.com, and get your books. Get enlightened. Okay, so to join the conversation, contact us at 323-580-5712. Again, the number is 323-580-5712. Now we're at our segment called Church and State. Now, to those of you that don't know, this week, one of the biggest names in the evangelical community, Bishop Eddie Long, was accused of allegedly coercing three young men to have sex with him. Now, 20-year-old Maurice Robertson, 21-year-old Anthony Flagg met Pastor Long through his Longfellows Youth Academy, and the third man accusing Long, 23-year-old Jamal Parrish, John Newberg when he was 14. Since that time, there has been a fourth person accusing Bishop Long for some similar allegations. Now, this is starting to be the norm rather than the exception. You had Jimmy Swaggart in 91, Tad Haggard in 06, Jamal Bryan in 07. Now Bishop Eddie Long is now accused in 2010. Not to mention the Catholic abuse cases that began receiving public attention in the 1980s. So I want to know, what do you think is happening, or should we just look the other way? I mean, they're just men, just like everybody else, subject to faults, right?
Well, I mean, are you posing the question to me, Mr. Cook?
I am.
Let me say first that I'm a big fan of faith. You know, the topic is church and state.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that faith is absolutely crucial to many people, and I think it's very important, and I don't think the state should do anything to either establish a religion or to keep people from practicing their religion, consistent, though, with not engaging in human sacrifices and other kinds of things that are just bad. But having said that, personally, I could care less whether Patrick Cook did it or didn't do it, as long as those people, assuming he did do it, and we can't make that assumption because he's innocent until proven guilty.
Correct.
But even if he did, if they were grown men, if it was consensual, quite frankly, it's none of my my business, and I think we as a society should stay out of people's sex lives.
Okay, let's go through our phone lines now. Hello, caller. Are you on Current Events with Patrick Cook? What are your comments? Hello, caller, you there?
Yes.
Okay, let's go to our next phone line. Hello, caller, you there? You're on Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Yes, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. I have a comment about the whole scandal and allegations with Bishop Eddie Long. As the gentleman just mentioned, you know, his sex life is private and it should be separate from what the public is doing and from what the church is doing. But also on the flip side of that, you have a spiritual leader that has a congregation of over 25,000 leaders. Not only is he just a spiritual leader inside his congregation, he's a national and international spiritual leader. You know, there's young men, there's young pastors, there's young people in the nation, period, looking up to him. Now, that's not the issue that I wanted to address. The issue that I want to address here is how, in retrospect, this incident that we're dealing with right now has nothing actually to do with homosexuality. There's no doubt in our mind that Bishop Eddie Long is a talented preacher. He's a talented businessman, and he's a, you know, extraordinary African-American male when it comes to reaching out to the community. Now, this gentleman has started programs that reach out to underage and underprivileged teenage African-American males and African-American and males of other races. However, mm-hmm. we're now looking at the situation of the attack on the black man instead of the attack on the Christian church. You know, it's one thing to have issues in the church going on, like homosexuality, paying for sex or prostitution allegations. There's a lot of different things that different ministers deal with on a day-to-day basis, whether they're megachurch pastors or they're regular pastors. Now, what we're looking at is a successful African-American pastor who has had a very, very clean slate, and he has done a lot for the community. Not only has he done a lot for the community, the same exact people he's done things for is the ones that's coming back to pinch him or so forth, they stab him in the back of these allegations. Now, I don't think that this is an attack on the Christian faith itself, just in that aspect. I think this is an attack on us as African-American males. This is a guy who's done above and beyond for the call of anybody, you know, inside the churches to do. These are programs that help people from, you know, crack-infested neighborhoods, help people from violent-infested neighborhoods, and giving them an opportunity to not only attend college, giving them an opportunity to know and understand what it is to be a man. And these same people turn around and they contact the news stations and they get attorneys and they're now suing them, regardless of the allegations are correct or false. If the allegations are false, well, then, you know, God has to deal with them. If they are true, then my question is, what has happened to lead up to this point? I mean, you're saying these young men who call themselves spiritual sons of Bishop Eddie Long has been along with him since they were 14 years old, and now they're 20 and 21 and bringing forth these allegations. What has happened in these times? I mean, 18 years old is a legal age. I mean, you should be competent enough to say, you know, there's something that's going on, or this isn't right. You know, and exactly
so,
what
so let's assume that, for the sake of argument, that the mm-hmm. allegations are true for a moment,
mm-hmm.
and how does he address the hypocrisy of his stance against homosexual community?
Okay.
I mean, I understand this is a personal matter, but when you're talking about somebody coming from the pulpit and the fact that he has a position on homosexuality and he made that position public, and if it turns out that these allegations are true, how does he reconcile this hypocrisy along those lines?
In that case, I don't think there's any way for him to reconcile it. The only thing that I think he could even remotely fall back on is the fact that he's just a human man. But evidently, yes, if the allegations were to be proven true or a fact, then it would be a mess deal on our hands, not only as, you know, African-American males, but the Christian church, period. You know, it's one of those situations where we don't know his personal life. We weren't there on the jet to know what's going on, but I'm pretty sure there were other people around, the pastor's personal assistants, I'm pretty sure other ministers and clergy went along with them on the trip. Now, as trips were taken with him and 16-year-old men by themselves to hotels and to New Zealand and different places where the allegations are being brought up from, then yes, that's inappropriate. But I don't believe, in my truth and knowing, in my experience in the church, that those places, those trips, and those things were taken without someone to be there along for the ride. Which brings me back to my next point. I was watching some of the interviews and some of the rebuttal. One of them was on Anderson 360, and one was on CNN. Now, one of the interviews that was on Anderson 360 is they brought in one of the past influential televangelists, Ted Haggard, who was recently involved in a scandal where I believe it was he purchased a prostitute of some sort, or had something to do with a prostitute and something.
Yeah, male prostitute and some drugs, right?
Right, male prostitute. Well, he then stood down and whatever the case may be, and now he's pastor in a smaller church. And then they bring opposition, a pastor, Troy Sanders, which is an African-American open homosexual pastor in Atlanta, Georgia. This gets back to my original point where this is not an attack on the Christian church. This is an attack on African-American men who have made something of themselves, who have been a pillar in the community. It's nothing more than a threat to bring them down. You have here, for opposition, a pastor that's just been caught in a scandal, not even dry enough, you know, to even make a comment on a situation like this. And you have a openly gay African-American pastor. What about Bishop T.D. Jakes? What about any of the other African-American influential pastors, Bishop G. Patterson or any of the, any of, I mean, there's names and names and names of them. Why would CNN or Anderson 360 bring one of these influential ministers or men of faith to speak on a situation like this? Why do you have to bring someone that was involved in queer unadulterated scandal and someone that's an open homosexual? I mean, I think the picture that they're painting and portraying Bishop Long is not one of rhetoric and ridicule against the Christian church, but rhetoric and ridicule against him as an African-American male, and more importantly, as an African-American male that has had some sort of success.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you for your call. Let me move to the next call. Thank you. Thank you for your call.
Thanks. All
right, you're on Current Events with Patrick Cook. What's your comment?
Yes. Is
Hello, call, you there?
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay, this is my thing right here with the Bishop Long situation. Any public figure, any public figure is held accountable to the public. So when you make yourself a public figure, anything that you do is public business. I don't care if the allegations are true or not. It makes the public, just the eyesight of it, he's doing something to make these people come and confess. But the truth will be told at the end. But I hate when people say, you know, everybody's picking on him. But when you put your life in and you comment on issues on camera and stuff, you become a public figure. And so those are my comments on that issue.
All right. Thank you for your call. All right. Next caller. You're on Current Events with Patrick Cook. What are your comments?
Hey, Mr. Cook, Leo Hicks again. How you doing?
All right, wonderful. Have you heard all the wonderful comments that we've had that's been taking place?
I have, and I think they run the gamut, and I think they all have merit to them. Let me comment though on the last caller who said that when you're a public figure, and I'm paraphrasing right now, I think he was saying basically your life is an open book, and you get what you deserve. I don't know if I agree with that, because there is a zone of privacy even around public figures. And I don't think just because you're a public figure, that means that your entire life is open to public scrutiny. There are some things that are no one's business, and I think that sex is one of them. So even if you're a public figure, that doesn't mean that the public has a right to know my sex life.
Or who
I'm sleeping with, or what's my favorite position, or what are other kind of kinky things I engage in.
I think there
is something to be said for this is a prominent black man, and perhaps this is just an attempt to destroy a prominent black man. We know that happens.
Right.
But also, let me add this. My only problem with it is, assuming he did it, is the hypocrisy of
right,
him doing
right,
it.
Right, absolutely.
You know, you can't pretend to be a man of Jesus and a man of faith and a man of religion and a man of morality at the same time you got dirt under your fingernails.
Right, exactly.
So if he did it, then I have a problem with the hypocrisy, and then he needs to be criticized if nothing but for the rank hypocrisy he's engaging in.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go to our next call. Hello, caller. You're on Current Events with Patrick Cook. Caller, you there? Okay, let's go to our next call. Hello, caller. You're
Hello.
On Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, this is Elaine. How are you doing?
Wonderful.
I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Miss Elaine, and my only question is, I'm hearing all the comments about Bishop Long. My question is, where are the parents? I haven't heard anything about where are the parents. These boys are underage, and allegedly starting from age 14 up until now, 2021, which is, but I understand that the age of consent in the state of Georgia is 16, but prior to that, where are the parents? If all these lavish things are going on, if he's taking them on these trips, I haven't heard anything about where are the parents. I haven't heard anything about that.
That's an excellent point. I mean, they at the time, a lot of this took place. I think it mentioned here that one of the children was 14 years old. That really begs the question about how pastors are engaging or interacting with children. I mean, the fact that there were many reports on the Catholic Church and he's messing around with these little boys, and then now there's a potential situation where we have another pastor that's engaging in inappropriate activities with other children. That's an excellent
mm-hmm.
point. All right, thank you for your call.
Sure, sure. Thanks.
Okay, call, you're on Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Hello?
Yes.
I have just two quick comments. I know time is running out, but one of the things that I wanted to mention is that I agree both with your previous caller that mentioned about when you're in that sort of position, there is a sense of accountability and responsibility. But I also agree with Mr. Hicks, who stated that there has to be a balance there between what's private and what's public. And as you develop, you ought to be able to have that internal clock in you that puts you on that straight and narrow in terms of, you know, what's right and what's wrong. And in this case with Bishop Long, it's unfortunate that, you know, the allegations have been made, and there won't be a winner out of this situation. Whether, you know, it comes out or not, will continue to be a cloud, not only over him, but over pastors and preachers and bishops in general. So, you know, at some point we just have to suspend judgment, because we all have our faults, we all have sins, none of us are perfect, which is what he said today when he addressed his congregation. So it'll continue to be a hot topic, because it's the world we live in, a 24-hour cycle.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for your call. You know, what's interesting is the fact that because we're having engaging in religious activities, and because we put pastors on such a high pedestal, and when they subject themselves just to humanly, manly type of, or womanly type of activities, you know, where they're subject to fault, it always seems to be a real big disappointment when the reality is they're just human beings. And so the show will continue offline. We're about to end here, so I want to thanks to all the listeners for tuning in. I would like to thank my very special guest today, Mr. Leo Baron Hicks. It was indeed a pleasure to have him join us today. Make sure you go out to his website and to pick up that wonderful book, those books. And please join us next week as we take a look at the current events with Patrick Cook. I am your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time. And don't forget to bookmark this site and visit my blog at taylormade101.blogspot.com, or follow me on Twitter at taylormade101. Okay, until next time, remember, it is written, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to current events with Patrick Cook. Now, if you want to continue the call, you can go ahead and continue the conversation. We will no longer be on the air. However, we can still continue to tape in the episode, and we can continue the discussion. Okay, so I have a couple of callers here. I would like to get your comments. I'm going to open the line up for all the callers here so we can continue the conversation. Okay, callers, you're on the line. You're on current events with Patrick Cook.
Hello?
Yes, you're there?
Yes, I just wanted to rebuttal a couple of the comments that were made. One was made by a young lady, I believe, earlier when she asked where the parents were. Well, in this situation here, along with many other situations, unlike the Catholic Church, in this situation we have people, whether they're of African-American descent or Mexican descent or Latin American descent, whatever the case may be, the males that are generally involved in these programs that the pastor are having these outreaches are from are either from troubled families, bad neighborhoods, or families that lack fathers. In this case in particular, the three gentlemen that are bringing forth these accusations actually didn't have anyone as a male figure in their life. So the pastor was acting as that male figure. You know, so as far as where the parents are, the mother may have been working. This is a ministry that the pastor has taken his time, and his ministry has taken time out to give to the community. And, you know, I think it's just looked at following when you say, where's the parents? The mother could have been doing her job. She could have been working, but that's what we look at the church for. We look at the church to fill in those gaps and fill in those places when, you know, there's no one else around to do it. So as far as that, that's where it comes up. Now, my question to that is, if there was inappropriate activity going on, there has to be someone. You can tell somebody else mentioned said, someone had to say something, someone had to see something, something's going to have to happen. You know, if there's inappropriate activity, eventually there's going to be someone you can trust enough to say, look, this is the inappropriate activity. And as far as I can tell, there hasn't been any other allegations other than oral sodomy that's been taken as far as charges.
Don't you think that when you're talking about an authoritative figure, someone that you hold in high esteem, which in my case, in my opinion, I think should never be the case when you're talking about man. But in a lot of cases, it is. People put these people on a pedestal, and they seem to have all of this authority. Now, that means you have this relationship when someone is above you, and you have this superior inferior type of relationship. There's a situation when that person has power over that of an individual, and to take advantage of a person is really is what bothers me. If you're in a situation of power and you begin to take advantage of a person, especially a young person, someone that's not fully mentally developed, not physically developed, not spiritually developed, all of these things that as an adult person taking advantage of a young adolescent to me is inappropriate. And then for a person to be of the cloth, that makes it to me, in a person that you're supposed to be, you know, following the word, it makes it a little bit more disheartening to me than it would be somebody else.
I totally agree with that. You know, I mean, there's that whole trust factor, especially, you know, when young men or young female looking up to the daughter's figure, whether it's a teacher, minister, or whatever the case may be, there's always that trust factor that breaks that barrier. But, you know, I can only pray for his sake that, you know, that's not the case. But if that is the case, you know, I have an issue with that. And then we have to then look at our communities and look at our churches and examine what's going on. And this can happen in a mega church with 25,000 followers. What's happening in our small community churches?
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
That becomes something that we have to look at and reflect on even in our communities. You know,
yes.
I would hate that that's the outcome of this, you know, being that our job here as Christians are to bring people to the cross, and that in no way is doing that I can think of. It was just one more statement that one of the gentlemen said earlier about being a public figure and your life being over the book. Someone just responded on this as well. Being in public does not mean your life is an open book. However, it does mean sometimes you're held to a higher standard by the community and by the general public, but your life isn't an open book. President Obama's life isn't an open book. He's the president. He's our leader, and he's much more than that in some other places.
But his life is not an open book. Although his life is watched 24/7, what he does with his wife is his business. What he does with his children is his business. You know, I mean, for a general statement to be made, like, well, you know, you're in politics, or, you know, you're in this realm of leadership, you know, your life's open. That's a very uneducated statement, and it's also a unmatured statement. It's a statement that I don't think anyone who has any common sense or knowledge of the outside world will make. Nobody's life is an open book. I'm a human, you're a human, Jesus came in the form of a human. His life was in the open book. However,
right.
As Christians, we are supposed to lead examples. And people do watch us as Christians if they look for us to fall. But our lives are in no way an open book unless you let people into your life for it to be an open book.
Right. Okay, I thank you for your call.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, we have one more call on the line. Caller, you have a comment? Okay, well, this concludes the show. Again, I am your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time. Don't forget to bookmark this site, blogtalkradio.com/current events, and visit my blog at tailormade101.blogspot.com or follow me on Twitter at tailormade101. So stay engaged, stay informed, stay plugged in to current events with Patrick Cook. Thank you, and bye-bye.